In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul first started talking about a vision that God had allowed him to see of heaven. And he talked about things that were unlawful. He couldn't talk about it. He didn't have the words for it. And God had revealed something that he couldn't fully explain with earthly terms. He couldn't talk about it. And the words couldn't be spoken. The thoughts could not be adequately expressed. And then I didn't read verse 5, but he said, speaking of that vision they had, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. And I was thinking about this passage because we've many times heard of Paul's thorn in the flesh. God gave him a messenger of Satan to buffet him. We read those verses, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 we read, where the thorn of the flesh, and three times, Paul said, please take this thing away. I don't want it anymore. And God told him no, and God gave him a reason why. But he had seen a glimpse of what Brother John just sang about, that eternal home. And God still had a work for him to do here on earth, here in the infirmities and the illnesses and the inadequacies and criticisms and accusations and turmoil and pain and sorrow and anguish. Those words talk about reproaches, necessities in verse 10, persecutions, distresses. And Paul said, not only do I endure them, but I take pleasure in them. I glory in my infirmities. I take pleasure in those things. And lest I should be exalted, that phrase twice in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest he get haughty or prideful or overconfident. I never struggle with those things, but lest he get too high-minded and too haughty and too overconfident in what he was doing. God had given him something to buffet him, to attack him, and he had asked God to take it away, but there was a reason for it. And why we wonder the same things today sometime. Why won't God take it away? You know, we believe God's all-powerful. We know he is able. Why would he allow those thorns? And Paul had already given the answer in verse 7, lest I be exalted above measure. It was something to keep him humble. It was something to help him understand his part in the process that God wanted him and where God wanted him to operate, how God wanted him to behave while he was here on earth. Sometimes when we pray, or sometimes when we ask people for something, we'd rather get no answer than the answer that we don't want. Paul prayed and God said no. Sometimes, you know, when I was a little kid, when now my children are learning the same thing. If mom says no, well, then you go ask dad before dad hears that mom said no, or vice versa. You get the answer that you want. And maybe Paul said that to himself. Well, I wish God just had given me no answer. I wish he just would have told me to wait instead of just telling me, no, I'm not going to take it away. But God said, I'm not going to take it away. I'm not going to give you the answer that you seek. The purpose was not to learn about the thorn. In fact, people still argue about what the thorn was. And I don't think it's important because it's not in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, it's not important, but it was a thorn and something we can relate to. The purpose wasn't to know about the thorn. It was to know about the grace that the thorn revealed. It's about God's grace. Verse 9 says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. God's grace was sufficient for Paul. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If we want the strength, and I know as has been testified tonight, if we want that strength, if we want that power, there has to be a weakness involved. There has to be a thorn that buffets us. There has to be a weakness. If it is foolish and dangerous to trust in our own strength when God's strength is available. I know I feel that way preaching, as Pastor said. It's foolish and dangerous to choose the option of our own strength when the strength of God is available. Why would we operate that way? Why would we say, all right, we're going to have church, but we're not going to pray, we're not going to talk about Jesus, we're not going to talk about heaven, nobody's allowed to sing anything that glorifies God, we'll just get everybody together and say we had church. What would be the point of that? It'd be foolish to have a gathering in our own strength and not have God be at the center of it. It'd be dangerous to trust in our own devices, our own understanding, when God's understanding is available to us. I was trying to think of a way to illustrate this. When I was younger, obviously, when I was 12 or 13, I started kind of working in the PA department at our church, and I was up in the attics, walking around in the attics, running wires sometimes. And the pastor there and the pastor's son told me, you know, walk on the on the braces, walk on the studs, walk on the wood, don't walk on the drywall. And in my understanding, I thought, well, you know, there's a nice white board there, and those studs are real skinny. I don't know if I can always hit those every time. Seems like it'd be easier for me just to walk between the boards where there's a bigger space to walk. And that was my understanding, that, you know, it looked easier to walk where there were no tiny little boards that you had to balance on. But thankfully I didn't go through the ceiling. But sometimes our understanding isn't the right understanding. And sometimes when somebody tells you to do it a certain way, we say, well, it looks to me like it'd be easier. Just like the Apostle Paul said, it'd probably be easier if I didn't have the thorn. But the thorn was what was giving him the ability to have the power of Christ in his life. If we want the strength, first we need to be weak. And it's dangerous to trust in our own strength when somebody else's strength is available, when God's heavenly strength is available to us. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That was me up in the attic. I thought, I'll be fine on the drywall. I don't need to stand on the studs. In Psalm, it says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. In James, it says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." It may not always make sense to us, but it would be foolish to try to operate in our own weakness when God's power is available. That should be our prayer tonight, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's what the Apostle Paul said, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And tonight, I just don't want to tell you just endure the infirmities and the reproaches and the trials and the tests and the thorns, because that's not what Paul says. He doesn't say just put up with it, do the best you can. He says he glories in it. He takes pleasure in it. And that's what I want to remind you tonight, because in taking pleasure in our infirmities, we're allowing the power of Christ to work in our lives. And I got 5 points. Number one, take pleasure in your weakness, because it reveals the power of the name of the only one that gives us salvation. Peter and John said in the book of Acts, "The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." If me acknowledging my weakness means I get to trust in Jesus for an eternal home in heaven, then I'll go ahead and say I'm pretty weak. If me acknowledging my sin means I get to trust in the only sinless one that shed his blood and died on the cross and again, paid that payment for me, if all I have to do is acknowledge that I'm not good enough and acknowledge that I'm a sinner and acknowledge that I need Jesus, then that's what we should do. That's what each of us should do, is say, you know what, my weakness means God's strength gives me salvation. Number two, take pleasure in your weakness, because it reveals the power of the one that gives us victory over death. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." If all I have to do is acknowledge my weakness, that I'm not strong enough to conquer death, that I'm not strong enough to pay for my own sin, but if I acknowledge that weakness, that means I also recognize the power of Christ that has victory over death and takes away the sting of death for myself, for those that I love, takes away that sting and instead gives us a home in heaven. Take pleasure in your weakness, number three, because it reveals the power of the one that mends hearts and breaks the chains of sin. In the book of Isaiah, prophesying about Messiah, about Jesus, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Take pleasure in that. Don't just endure the weakness because, well, I guess the benefit pays off. I guess I'll put up with it. But take pleasure in the infirmity. Glory in the infirmity. Glory in the weaknesses, because it brings about the power of Christ in your life. He mends hearts. He breaks the chains of sin. He sets the captive free. Again, take pleasure in your weakness, because it reveals the power of Christ through your life. Number four, take pleasure in your weakness, because it reveals the power of the one who is present and can meet our needs and answer our prayers. Again, the Apostle Paul had seen a vision that he couldn't put into words. He wasn't able to fully express it because it was something that it was a heavenly vision, and he said, "I can't express this, but through my weakness, I can express all of these things. I can express the power of God to give us salvation, the power of God over death, the power of God to set the sinner free and to restore, mend up the brokenhearted." It reveals the power of the one who is present and can meet our needs and answer our prayers. Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble." Again, if all I have to do is say, you know, I'm weak and I need God in my life, and all I have to do is admit that I'm weak enough to need God, then that's what we should do. We should not just endure it, but we should take pleasure in our weakness so we can say, I have a God who is always present. He's always my refuge and strength. And he's always a help in trouble. And that's the kind of God that shows his power when I glory in my weakness, when I take pleasure in my infirmities. In Hebrews it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." One of the things I like about my wife is her middle name is Grace. And growing up, whenever my sister or I would trip in front of my mother, she would kind of rib us and say, "Is your middle name Grace?" Because we didn't have much grace when we walked around. But I finally met a girl whose middle name was Grace. And God's grace is revealed to us in our weakness. God's grace is revealed to us. We see the power to come boldly, to his throne and receive grace. Receive something that we weren't born with. We stumble. We trip. We didn't naturally achieve it, but we can get it from God, who does give us the grace that we need. In Hebrews it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Acknowledge your weakness, because it reveals the power of the one who's present and can meet our needs, and he answers our prayers. It says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Again, if all I have to do is acknowledge that I'm weak, and all these things come about because of I glory in my infirmities, I take pleasure in my weakness. And then why would we not do that? Why would we not take pleasure in our weakness? Because it reveals, number five, the power of the one who left us here. Left us here, but he's with us, but he left us here with a purpose to share his message with his grace. Again, not my message, because my message so far has been, I'm too weak for that. I can't do that on my own. I need Jesus. I don't want to go around and tell anybody the good news of me, because I don't have much good news about myself. But I can tell people about the one that does have the good news. I can tell people about Jesus and what he's done in my life. The same thing that you can do on an individual basis, because he's blessed us in individual ways, as we mentioned tonight. He's left us here purposed to share his message with his grace. Jesus said in the book of John, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, the works that Jesus did, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Again, catch his name, in his name, with his grace, with his message. If all I have to do is acknowledge my weakness, and that makes me a conduit or a carrier of the power of Christ, then I should acknowledge my weakness, because that makes me able to tell other people about that same power. It gives me the ability to say the same message that Jesus spoke when he was here on earth. That's an awesome thought, to think that the same words that Jesus said can have the same power coming from a believer, because they've acknowledged, they've gloried, they've found pleasure in their weakness, and they can share Christ with somebody else because they said, "You know what? I'm too weak. I can't do it on my own, but I can tell you about one who is strong, who's in weakness finds strength." In his name, in the name of Christ, in asking in his name, sharing his message with his grace. And tonight, I know this is true for our church because we have a great church, but I'm not interested in winning people to our church. because we're a bunch of weak people. I'm interested in using our church to win people to Christ. And say, you know what, you're going to find a bunch of weak people that know they need Jesus. You're not going to find many people or any people that think they have it all together, that have all the answers, because those people don't learn. Those people don't reveal the power of Christ. You're going to find somebody that says, you know what, I was weak, I needed Jesus, I'm still weak, I still need Jesus because I need to show his power in my life. I think we have great Christians in our church. But I'm not interested in winning anybody to anybody in this church besides Jesus, because that's where we need to point people. When trials and criticisms come, and let people see a church body that knows where their strength comes from, that we don't fight back in our own strength, and we don't have to fight because Jesus stands and fights for us. Jesus is our strength. We're not going to exhibit any of our own, because all we have to show is weakness, but we show our weakness so that God's strength can be shown through us. The power of Christ. Earlier in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I know we mentioned about shedding tears and about being emotional, and I mentioned before in a message about when I was a little kid, missionary stories would always get me choked up. You could just say a missionary's name and I'd know the story, and I'd start thinking about the sacrifice and the toil and the hard work that missionary would take to go to another country and give up everything, leave their family, sometimes never seeing them again. And those stories still speak to me. One quote I remember was that a missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, he said that all of God's giants, or the people I think about and get choked up, the people that have served God greatly, he said all of God's giants have realized they're at the most very weak men that reckoned they needed God. They reckon they needed to lean on God, and they realized their weakness, and that's what allowed God to use them greatly, to show the power of Christ in their lives. And again, we are all here to do the work of God. We are all here to take the understanding, the knowledge that God has given us, and share it with somebody else, and to show the power of Christ in our lives through our weakness. So let us glory, let us take pleasure in our infirmities, in reproaches, in the thorns. Take pleasure and glory. That reveals the power that gives us salvation, gives us victory over death, mends broken hearts, and breaks sin's chains. It shows us God is with us, and he can meet our needs and answer our prayers. And it gives us the purpose. The reason we're still here, it gives us the purpose to serve others with his grace, with his message. Not ours, because we're weak. We got nothing to share but weakness, but we can show the power of Christ through our life, through grace. We'll read this little poem and we'll be done. The songwriter wrote, every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference we will make is only by his grace. Every mountain we will climb, every ray of hope we shine, every blessing left behind is only by his grace. Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share his peace is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise is only by his grace. And I know that's our desire tonight, to be a help to somebody else, to comfort somebody that's going through a tough time, to lead somebody to receive Christ, to lead somebody through a trial and say, you know what, I've been through something similar, I want to help somebody. And all that we get to do is only through the grace of God. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. That's my prayer for us tonight as a church, to say, you know what, if acknowledging my weakness gets me these things, and it gets me allows me to show the power of Christ to those around me, then I'm weak. I'm the weak one. I want God to use me. I want, like as was said, despite the infirmities, despite the rough time, I'm going to be there. I'm going to make sure that God's power is shown through me, that I can be an example to others. And hopefully that's our prayer tonight, that we'll not only just endure it, but take pleasure in it because of the enormous benefit that God uses us. God chooses to use our weakness to show his strength. Take pleasure in your weakness because it reveals the power of Christ in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Again, Lord, thanks for the opportunity to say something from your word. I pray, Lord, something tonight. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for the example of the Christians in this room. And I pray, Lord, that thank you for your word, that we have to acknowledge our weakness so your strength can, your power can show through us. I pray you bless our time of invitation, Lord. If something said tonight has convicted our heart or something, somebody just needs a few minutes to get right with you, that they'll take the time and the opportunity that we have here as a church. I pray that we'd use this time wisely. Bless the rest of the service. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.